He's over there conducting a retreat, and so he'll be there for this week. Someone was asking me, how come there's no eye care sent out this week? Well, he's in Myanmar, and then he'll be back on Friday. Okay, but let's especially pray for him. As he ministers there. Our Heavenly Father, we want to pray this evening for Pastor as he continues to conduct this retreat for our Burmese brethren. We pray, dear Lord, that you will grant him your grace and strength to continue to serve you. Empower him, Lord, as he brings forth your word over there. And may the hearts of our brethren be deeply encouraged and challenged, Lord, to live for you and to serve you. And we pray, dear Father, that you will bless this time even as we study your word. May we learn a bit more, Lord, about what it means to pray to you. So we ask for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we have heard a lot about interactive prayer. We had a whole camp about it. Today, we are going to study a bit more about interactive prayer. Okay, and today we are going to talk about how Moses went about interceding for the people of Israel. Now, how would you feel if you had spent 40 days and 40 nights with God? No one with you, no husband, no wife, no children, no family members. Just you and God for 40 days and 40 nights. What will come out of it? Okay, today we're just going to study a bit about that. And it's very important for us to consider how knowledge and understanding plays a very important part. Knowledge, faith, sensitivity to God are component parts of interacting with God in prayer. So after spending 40 days and 40 nights with God, being instructed concerning about the tabernacle, the artifacts, how it is to be made, the garments of the priests, the sanctification of the priests, and how things are to be run in the tabernacle. You know, Moses will now put into practice the things that he has gained, the things that he's instructed, been instructed by God. And one of the things that he gained was a deeper understanding of God. In order to interact with God, there's a need for understanding. There's a need to understand many aspects, attributes of God, and there are many levels to them. Greater faith is also needed in interacting with God, you know, to pray, to intercede. Faith that will cause us to pray, faith that will cause us to have compassion on people, to pray for them. And there should also be this sensitivity. When we relate to God, you know, there's a need to cultivate this sensitivity to God. Moses was with God, in proximity with God for 40 days, 40 nights. And the Moses that started this journey was now a different Moses. The way he prayed, the way he approached God. I'm actually looking forward to Pastor's 40 days and 40 nights devotions. I don't know whether he's going to do that in 40 days and 40 nights. I don't think so. Okay, but there's a lot to learn along the way. And I think one of the things that we want to consider this evening is about being sensitive to God, even as we pray. Sometimes it is easy for us to generalize our approach to God. We think there's only just one way to God. God is our Father, and we just pray to Him in that way. But actually, there are other dimensions. Our relationship with God can be very dynamic if we know how to relate to Him. And there must be this sensitivity. A mother is, after a while, with a newborn, is sensitive to the needs of the newborn, right? She is able to discern what noise means what, and so on. Certain kinds of cry mean certain things. Okay, Ashley is, she's sensitive to how Shuhua answers her when she asks for something. And I've seen that before, and she asks, oh, can I have this? And the mom said, no. And she asks again, and then the no becomes a bit more louder and slightly fiercer. And then she say, okay, never mind. She'll walk away. And you know, she senses a Shuhua. Of course, by a greater degree, when we look at God, do we sense Him when we pray? Do we take the time to know Him and to be able to relate to Him beyond just telling Him what we need? Sometimes it's so easy for us to just tell God what we need, but we don't take the time to relate to Him and to sense Him. There are times when you pray, you can sense that He's there. But there are times when you pray, you know that things are not quite right. And I think it's a challenge. It's a challenge to be able to cultivate this sensitivity to God. And Moses was a different man of prayer after his 40 days and night with God. Okay, now let's turn to Exodus 31. And in verse 18 we read, and when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets, okay, of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. Wow, what a great privilege. Spending 40 days and 40 nights with God, receiving instructions, receiving the Ten Commandments, receiving the Word of God, and receiving these two tablets. Okay? And this was a very special experience. But that special experience was abruptly disturbed, so-called. Abruptly ended. When the Lord said these words to Moses in verse 7, and the Lord said to Moses, go, get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. Okay? And so, while God was speaking to Moses, interacting with Moses, behind Moses' back, the people of Israel obviously sinned against God, and they came out with this golden calf. And so now God was going to reveal His wrath to Moses. Okay, now one of the things that Moses had to learn was to listen to God's language, words that He will use, and to discern the subtleties and nuances of His words. Okay, the Lord was angry with the children of Israel, and this is what He said. He said, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. Straight away, He uses certain kind of words that tells you how God feels. Your people. He didn't say my people. He said your people whom you brought out. Wow, so God is distancing Himself. Very, very often when my father or my mother gets angry with the both of us, one of them will say, your son did this today. Your son did that. And you know, all parents, they all say the same thing, isn't it, Casey? Yeah. You know, they say all the same. You know, it's like distancing yourself from the children. This is your child, not my child. Okay, and here we see God distancing himself from the people of Israel. And he's even saying, oh, you know, Moses, you are the one who brought out the people from Egypt. And so he uses the second person pronoun to distance himself. Okay, he was trying to disassociate himself from the people. The Lord was virtually suggesting that he does not want to be God to these people anymore. Okay? And this is a serious thing. Moses was able to catch this, what God was trying to imply. Okay, and of course, God was very angry with these people. These people had corrupted themselves. They had degraded themselves as a nation. And of course, God cannot do, he cannot have anything to do with people who are corrupted because he is a holy God. Okay, and it was easy. It was easy for the people to sin when there was no Moses around. So out of sight, out of mind. And the people sinned against the Lord. There was no regard. There was no fear for the Lord God. Now turn with me to Deuteronomy 9, verse 16. Okay, in verse 16. And I looked, and behold, you have sinned against the Lord your God, have made for yourself a molten calf. You have turned aside quickly from the way which the Lord had commanded you. How, you know, the people of Israel, they quickly turned away. They went against God's word. Earlier on, they had just said that to God, whatever you command, we will obey. 3-4 times they said that. So God had established a relationship with them. And they said, okay, we will do this. But the moment Moses was out of sight, 40 days, after 40 days, they quickly turned aside from the way that God had commanded them. Okay, they turned to idolatry. Okay, and you know, they broke the Ten Commandments. Now turn with me to Exodus 20, verse 4. They didn't just break one, they broke 4 of it. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of land. You shall have no other gods. Number one, wow. Broken. First commandment, you shall not have yourself a calf image. Number two, broken. Number three, you shall not take the name of the Lord in vain, for the Lord will hold him guiltless. Number three, okay? Number one, number two, number three. Of course, Sabbath day is not included. But, you know, straight away, they have broken the commandments of God. And if you break the first three, the others don't count. Can you see that? So actually, they broke all 10 commandments. Straight away, within a matter of a few days, they turned from God, and God stated that he was a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation. Okay? And it's so easy for them to run, to be swift, to run to that which is evil. And this was another thing that God hid. How swift they were in running towards doing that which is weak, which is sinful and wrong in God's sight. Okay, and so they worship this golden calf. And they sacrifice to it, they worship it. Okay, they had turned away from God to another God. And said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of Egypt. Wow. Okay, and they had turned to idols. And this was a great affront to the Lord. They were saying that this golden calf was what brought them out of Egypt. And so God said, you are a stiff-necked people. You are a stubborn people. Okay? And they were truly stubborn in all their ways. And it was going to be very hard for them to change their ways. And so God was very angry with these people. And then he said these words. Okay, let's go back to Exodus 32. He said these words, "Leave me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation." Wow. God was going to wipe out the whole nation of Israel. God was going to kill everyone, and he told Moses, "I will start a new nation with you." And he said these words, "Let me alone." Now he asked Moses to leave him alone. Okay, but actually Moses knew that this was his chance. This was his chance to not leave God alone. Okay? This was his chance to intercede for the people of Israel. Okay, because he was not going to leave God alone, he was going to stand in the gap. Okay? And that's what Moses did. Okay, any questions anyone to want to raise up concerning this? Now, so God began to tell Moses all that he was going to do, his wrath. And so now Moses was going to interact in prayer with God for Israel. He was going to intercede for Israel. Now, as he interacted with God, it's interesting that he did not relate to God as Father. Okay? Nowhere in this passage from verse 11 to verse 13, he mentioned God as Father. He didn't. Okay? Why? In Deuteronomy 1, verse 31, let's turn to Deuteronomy. Maybe you put one finger at Deuteronomy because we're going to turn to it. In 1:31, we read, "And in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son in all the way that you went until you came to this place." Right? So God was like a father carrying his son, Israel. You turn with me to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32, we read in verse 6, "Do you thus deal with the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? Is he not your father who bought you? Has he not made you and established you?" Okay, so he knew this concept of God as father. Right? But why did he not relate to God, pray to God as one who was father at this point of time? Why didn't he? Okay? And the reason is because there is a shift. There is a shift of relationship. Okay? The relationship was now fragile and estranged. Okay, and that relationship, now, the former part between God and Israel was not even respected and honored by Israel. You see, God will relate to the people of Israel, establish a formal relationship, and Israel needs to respect and honor that. Can you see that? But Israel did not. So God will always begin first by establishing a formal relationship. Okay? Exodus 6 verse 2. Okay, so put one finger Deuteronomy, one finger in Exodus. okay, because we will be turning to and fro. And let me try to explain this to you. In 6 verse 2, we read, God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But my name, Lord, I was not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them. Okay? I have heard their groanings. Verse 6, therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will rescue you. I will redeem you. Verse 7, I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, your God, who brings you out of under the burdens of the Egyptian. And so God was going to establish this relationship. I am your God, you are my people. It is a formal relationship. Okay? It's a very important relationship to establish this covenant with them. The Lord is what we call God's covenantal name. He will rescue them. He will redeem them. He will take them as His own people. Okay? And so God had established this relationship with the people of Israel. But they had not given the proper attention and regard for God. Can you see that? So they did not see God as their Lord. Okay? They did not see them as, you know, they did not obey the Lord. Now, it was established, but it was lost along the way. Can you see that? They did not give that kind of regard. Okay? Now, another place we can take a look at is Jeremiah 7. Okay? You will see this a bit more. Let's turn to Jeremiah 7. Same problem. Okay. Verse 19. Do they provoke me to anger? Do they not provoke themselves to the shame of their own faces? Behold, my anger, my fury will be poured out on this place, on men and on beasts, on the trees of the field, on the fruit of the ground. It will burn and not be quenched. Okay? For I did not speak to your fathers, verse 22, and command them in the day I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God. You see, that formal relationship that is so important. Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. Next year's camp, my people. And walk in the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts, and went backward and not forward. Okay? Yet they did not obey me, incline their ear, but stiffened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. So we can see that while there was an establishing of a formal relationship with God, Israel did not do their part. Can you see that? They didn't honor God. They didn't honor their part. They did not obey the words and commandments of God. They did not listen. They followed their own dictates of their own. And so there was this basic and formal relationship with God was not, you know, they did not heed. They did not take the time to give the kind of attention to developing this relationship. And you know, sometimes when you look at certain churches, they speak of, oh, you know, you can come to God and God will prosper you. You know, you can relate to God as Father. God is a Father of love. He will care. He will bless. He will... But you know, a lot of these people, when they come from these churches, they have not even established that formal relationship with God. They have not established God as their Lord. They have not thought through this idea of how there must be obedience to God's commandments. Can you see that? Okay, and so the people of Israel, they did not follow through on this. They decided, yes, we want to establish this relationship. We want to have this covenant. In Exodus 20, they saw the presence of the Lord and they were fearful. In Exodus 24, the covenant was read. Okay, let's turn to Exodus 24 now. Okay, in Exodus 24, we read this was established with the people of Israel. Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but the people shall not come near. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord said, we will do. You see? They agreed. Twice they said that. Verse 7, all that the Lord has said, we will do, and be obedient. Okay? But Israel reneged on what they had promised. And they did not even practice the commandments. Okay? And so when we come to this idea of a formal relationship with God, you know, sometimes people, even Christians today, they don't even understand this formal relationship that's needed. Before we can relate to God as one who is Father, there must be this formal relationship where we look at God as one who is Lord. You know, yesterday I was talking to this young fellow, sec 3 boy, you know, who came to church. And, you know, he was telling me that he attended another church and he's been there for a few years. And so he came for our YPG and then he came for worship. And he said, you know, he would like to come here. And so he went to his cell group and he said, you know, I'm going to leave and I'm going to come to Bethany. And the cell group said, you must sign a resignation form. Okay, you want to leave, you must sign this form. And so he got this form, he went to the cell group leader and he said, you know, I've signed this, I'm going to leave. And then the cell group leader said, you cannot leave. Okay, because if you leave, you are betraying God. Yeah, that's what he said. You know, you are betraying God, and, you know, you can't leave the church. Then I sat down with him. I said, that's total rubbish. There's nowhere in the Bible that says if you leave the church to go to another church, you are betraying God. He said, no, I got to listen to this. I said, okay, let's sit down and think this through. You know, so I spent a good 15 minutes just trying to explain to him. Okay, and so he's coming for YPG this Saturday. After that, he will go to his cell group and resign. Yeah. Well, I hope he'll follow through with it. But he's a nice fellow. You know, he's new to our church. But, you know, he finds that, you know, we are a church that studies the scriptures. And, you know, that's what he wants. He wants to study the Word of God. And so when we look at Moses pleading with the Lord, we see him as one who is coming before God in a very formal way. Okay? He's taking this opportunity to plead for the nation of Israel. Okay? And there's deep knowledge, there is closeness of relationship, there's great faith. There is deep compassion for the people of Israel. Okay, and so In interacting with God, he was doing this with a formal relationship. And he knew what to say. He was very formal in his communication with God. And this was a matter of life and death. Now, let's go back to Exodus 32. Okay, and then we read, then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God. Okay, essentially, the next few verses is Moses humbly pleading with God. He realized that there is a breach relationship. That's the idea of standing in the breach. There is a breach relationship between God and the nation of Israel. And so now he was standing in the breach. Okay? There was a lot of discernment. There was, you know, as he prayed. And then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people? So he turns it around. Okay? Not my people, your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand. Wow. So you see the sensitivity, the subtleties, the nuances, and yet, okay, when he prays with discernment, he prays with depth, he prays with wisdom. Okay, and this is exactly what God wants to hear. You know, Moses, his focus, everything about God. Nothing about the people of Israel. It's all about God. Okay? Of course, it's with reference to the people, but the main focus, it's all about God. Right? Your wrath, your people, you have brought out. Can you see this? Turn from your fierce wrath, relent this harm to your people, your servants, your own self, you swore. You know what? It's all about God. When you intercede for people, what is the best way to intercede? The focus must always be on God. Okay? Nothing. Literally, almost the basis of pleading is not about the people. It's all about God. The Lord wanted to destroy the nation of Israel, but Moses was his chosen one that would stand in the gap, in the breach. Okay, and that's a challenge. Can we discern? Are we able to discern how God feels as we pray? Can we sense him? Is there this sensitivity? For that matter, can you even sense when you are not walking right with God? Are you able to sense when God is perhaps upset with us? When we are not walking right with him? Or when there's pride in our hearts? When the things you do for him doesn't seem to go beyond a certain level? Is there this sensitivity? You see, that's where understanding must come in. That's where faith has to come in. And that's where sensitivity has to come in. Is there a place for sensitivity with reference to God as we pray? And my answer is yes. Sometimes we don't even know how to sense him. Sometimes we sense more about what we want, how we feel, rather than how God feels. Okay? Can we sense the difference? My answer is yes. You turn with me to Isaiah 11, verse 2. Isaiah 11, verse 2, very famous verse about the Holy Spirit coming upon the Lord Jesus. This branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Can we discern the difference between wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge? See, they're all very close. But can you discern? What's the difference between one to another? Huh? The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, decide with equity for the meek of the earth. Wow. You know, there will be great discernment. So even as we pray, even as we relate to God in prayer, is there this discernment? Do we know how to sense God? Do we know that God is even there at all when you pray? Sometimes you pray, you don't know whether God is there or not. Let alone even discern what he's trying to say to us. See, that's our challenge. And the person who can sense is a person who learns to be in proximity with God. See, for Moses, he spent 40 days and 40 nights. Wow, that is close proximity. No one else can come to him. Only Moses was able to go into the very presence of God. All the leaders, okay, you stay here. We'll go up a bit higher, the leaders stay here. Joshua, you stay here. And he will go. And he will talk to God face to face. Then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God. Now, if in your Bible, you can see a one there in the. Right? If you have a cross-reference idea, what is that one? The Lord his God. If you turn, you know, if you're cross-referencing, actually the idea there, verse 11, the face of the Lord. You see, he pleaded, he sought the face of the Lord. Wow, that was closeness. Can you see that? That proximity, that faith, that relationship where God will allow him to draw near. Can you see this? And of course, there is that formal relationship. Okay? And yet there was that closeness. How do you discern? How do you discern that when the relationship has shifted from closeness to a formal one? Do we know how to discern? Can we discern? And the answer is yes, we can. You can discern. Can you see the subtleties? So he pleaded with God. Okay? And he asked, why? Why does your wrath burn hot? Why should the Egyptians speak and say bad things about God? Why? So he was exploring avenues of prayer. And of course, this is with regards to the name of God. Why should the people, the Egyptians, speak and say he brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn. Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Wow. You know, he knew how to pray to God and approach God with humility, with wisdom, the right words to say, your name, your people, your works. Lord, isn't this your works? You have showed your great power. You have brought these people out of Egypt. You kill them now. Isn't that all a waste? Wouldn't all the Egyptians say, you know, this God brought them out and then killed them? Wouldn't that bring dishonor to your name? And then he went on, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, Jacob, your servants, the covenantal, the patriarchs. You notice he didn't say, Israel, your people. He didn't. Whom did he plead? You know, the basis of pleading. Remember the patriarchs, those you gave the covenant to, right? Abraham, Isaac, Israel, your servant, to whom you swore by yourself and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven. Whoa, can you see the stars? Remember, you said this to Abraham, look up in the sky, can you see the stars? Recently, one of the girls that come for YPG, Audrey Chia, and she came to me and said, Pastor Mitch, let me show you this app, okay? And it's called Skyview. Very interesting. You point it up to the sky, and they will tell you all the location of the various constellations. Where's Orion? Where is Sagittarius? Whatever constellation there is, you know. And then you can see the figure of the person. Here is the Orion, and then there's a person with a bow. So you actually can see it. And you can see it here. You can see it the other side of the earth. So you can see it on the floor. You can see it, you know, all over. That was amazing. And when we went to Gardens by the Bay, she took it out. Say, Pastor Mitch, come, let me show you. I say, wow, that's fascinating. Then, you know, that was my way of relating to her and telling her about God's creation. And here was God, here was Moses telling God, did not you say all these things? Remember the word that you said, I will give to your descendants and they shall inherit it forever. Okay, so he was pleading with God not to be angry with his people. He sought to reason with God. He was pleading in a very formal with a very formal relationship with God. Okay. Now, any questions anyone want to ask? See, Jesus taught about calling God Father, right? Our Father in heaven. Paul also taught about calling God Father. So under the new covenant, you know, we relate to God as Father. But there should also be this formality with God. Okay? Now, you turn with me to Matthew 6 now. In Matthew 6, Matthew 26, sorry, and this was a passage that Pastor taught at Sunday school. I'm just rereading it again. And of course, when the Lord Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup be passed from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Right? And then in verse 41, we read, he said, Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. So he related to God as Father. And the disciples were supposed to watch with him in prayer. But of course, they could not. Okay, and the word watch is where you get the name Gregory. Okay, so that's a nice name. It means to be watchful. So the in Greek, the name Gregory is where the Greek word Gregorio comes from, Gregory. It means to be vigilant, to be watchful. Okay? Now, when the Lord Jesus was on the cross and he was crying out to God, "My God, my God." Okay? So on one hand, there is this special close relationship with God, Father and Son relationship. But when he was on the cross, when he cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabbathani." Now let's turn to 27 verse 46. He said, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And when he was under judgment, he prayed to God in a very formal way. Okay, my God, why you have forsaken me? So on one hand, there is that closeness of relationship between the Father and the Son. But there are times, especially in this case where, you know, for the Lord Jesus, when he was under judgment, it was a very formal thing, a formal relationship. Where he called out, "My God, my God." Okay? Now, let's go back to Exodus 32. And so, the Lord heeded the voice of Moses. And so, the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people. So Moses pleaded. He pleaded with the word of God. He pleaded on the basis of the covenant that the Lord had made with the patriarchs, which the Lord had sworn to that Abraham's descendants would be as the stars of the heaven. Okay? And so there's a lot of sensitivity. There's a lot of wisdom and discernment involved. And so the Lord relented. And so you can see this relationship, how relationship with God can shift. It can shift when sin is involved. Okay? And it's important for us to be able to sense that as we pray, as we intercede. Ken? Okay, anybody wants to ask any question? Or? Okay. Now, when we look at the sins of Israel, we can feel that God is justified in wanting to destroy the nation of Israel, isn't it? I mean, God has had every right to destroy the nation of Israel. And sometimes when we look at ourselves, it's also easy to maybe identify with Israel. How sometimes, you know, God wants to establish that relationship with us, and yet at the same time, we don't give that kind of attention. We tend to drift, and we tend to sin against God. And sometimes, you know, we can be stubborn, we can be sinful, and sometimes maybe we even feel that maybe God should just consume us. But you know, wonderfully, we thank God that we have a greater intercessor praying for us. Okay, now let's turn to 1 John. In 1 John, and it's one of those verses that I've come to really appreciate. 1 John 2, verse 1. "My children, these things I write to you that so that you may not sin. But if anyone sins," in other words, anybody, including John himself, servants of God, the congregation, anyone, "if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Wow, we have a righteous advocate with the Father. This is like a court a divine court of law. This is like a divine court. And here we see the Lord Jesus as our advocate. He's the one who's going to intercede for us, especially with reference to our sins. Maybe one of the reasons why we are still alive is because the Lord Jesus intercedes for us in a very special way. I've been in court before. I've seen cases argued. I've seen one where, this person was defending or trying to help this person who was being charged for taking money and wow. So this person was trying to plead on this person's behalf. And wow, he went through point after point after point. You know, it was masterclass. First time I hear someone speak in such a manner, pleading with the judge for leniency. And he went on for a good half an hour explaining all the points. I say, wow, that is a good speech. But of course, you know, Singapore Court of Law, if you do any crime, you do the time. And so this person had to go to jail in the end. Okay? But wow. We have a righteous, perfect advocate. One who intercedes on our behalf. Okay? And that is something that should encourage our hearts. Okay? And so there are a few things that we want to consider this evening, even as we think about this idea of intercessory prayer or interacting with God in prayer. Okay, so the first thing I think we should have is to deepen our knowledge of God. There is this formal relationship with God, and there is also this father and son relationship with God. Okay, and for Moses, he grew in his understanding of God. He was able to relate to God in a deeper way. And so if we want to interact with God, I still remember the first night, second night when Pastor had camp, he was talking about backsliding. And that night he was talking about knowledge. If we want to intercede with God, intercede for people and interact with God, the main thing, we need knowledge. We need to know God in a deeper way. You know, we should never limit our understanding of God. Sometimes after a while we feel we already know God. But there's so much more that we can understand with reference to God. So I think that's the first thing we should do. We should deepen our understanding, our knowledge of God. Okay? Number two, I think it's good for us to learn how to be sensitive to God, even as we pray. And sometimes we don't know how to be sensitive. Do we know how to sense his prompting? Do we know how to discern between Satan's voice, our voice, and God's voice? You know, sometimes we think they're all the same. But actually, there are different voices that we can hear. But God speaks to us through his word. And there are subtleties. There's the need for wisdom and discernment, even as we plead for people. As I serve as a pastor, as I continue serving, I realize that the things that I pray for is very different from what I used to pray maybe 15 years ago. Initial years were okay, you know. These young people, they need prayer support for exam. Okay, you pray for them. But, you know, being in the ministry for the last 15 years as an ordained pastor, now my prayers are for families who are in trouble, couples who need help, difficulties in with reference to work and so on. And, you know, wow, it's almost like life and death kind of situation. You know, what you say, what you pray. You know, there's this person that, you know, I've been praying for. This person has been writing to me every day, every morning with reference to her daughter. And she's been having a, you know, a challenging time. And I said, you know, why don't you try reaching out to your own daughter, care for her, be there for her, pray with her. And, you know, she started doing that. It was tough, it wasn't easy, but she kept doing it. Every day she would write. And every day I would write back to her, I say, why don't you try this? And then we would pray. And then this morning she said, oh, you know, Pastor Mitch, a little victory. Some breakthrough today. I say, good for you. Thank God, pray on. Move on. Every day I will intercede in prayer. You know, I realized that as a pastor, after 15 years, wow, it gets challenging. The situations you go through, the people you counsel, are no longer simple, straightforward, you know, trust God, trust God. It's much more complex than that. What do you say? How would you encourage? What would you pray? Before I do anything now, I always pray, Lord, grant me the discernment. It becomes a bit more challenging. But you know, my challenge is to interact with God. My challenge is to pray and intercede for these people. My challenge is to know God in a deeper way. There are things that I still don't know and understand about God. And there are things that I still need to know and to understand with reference to discernment and wisdom. And that's something that maybe we all need as well. And then thirdly, the idea of pleading. Do we know how to plead to God on behalf of someone? You know, this was a life and death situation for the whole nation of Israel. And so Moses pleaded with God for the life of this whole nation. One man standing in the gap. Wow. Literally standing between the living and the dead. If he said something out of turn, if he said something wrong, that's it. The whole nation wiped out. But you know, he stood in the gap. He prayed for them. And because he prayed, the whole nation lived. You know, that is a place of prayer. Prayer can make a big difference if you know how to interact with God. So my challenge to all this evening, well, let's grow in our understanding of God. Let's learn how to be sensitive to God. But let's also learn how to plead with God for those who are really in need. You know, there are many people coming to Bethany. There are a lot of new people. And they are coming to our church with needs, with problems, with difficulties. Unless we do our part to get to know them, and along the way to learn how to pray for them, their experience here will be so much and no more. No, let's learn. Let's really learn how to pray for people beyond just ourselves. Let's learn how to plead. To plead the name of God, to plead the promises of God. Do we know the scriptures well enough that as we pray, the scriptures will come? And we plead those things, the promises of God. Moses stood in the gap. And even as I prepared for this Bible study, my heart was deeply challenged. I'm nowhere near Moses. And I can safely say none of us here is anywhere near Moses. But he sets an example for all of us. He is one who talks to God face to face. And I'm deeply challenged. I'm deeply challenged to improve my prayer life. I'm deeply challenged to include prayer so much more in everything that I do. As long as it involves people, I pray. I don't take it for granted. That what I say, what I do, what I write, what I preach, what I teach, is going to bless hearts. I don't take it for granted at all. And I've learned. I've learned bit by bit, even more, this year, to pray. And yes, we got to do our part. We have to know the scriptures well. We have to do all the necessary preparation. You know, Pastor has been talking about, you know, why the younger pastors, meaning us, why we want to go to him and to be corrected again and again and again and again and again. Am I a sucker for pain, for correction? No, I'm not. I don't like it at all. I can tell you that. It's very... Oh, sometimes the things you say are the heart. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing for the heart. It's very, very humbling. But you know, every time I preach, every time I teach, I want to make sure that it is the truth. It's not just my own words. And for the last 25 years, okay, before I even became a student pastor, he has been correcting my work. So for 25 years, I've been doing that. And I've learned so much from interacting with pastor. And you know what? I don't mind. And I enjoy being corrected because I learn many new things. And I want to preach the truth, nothing but the truth. But I realize work is one thing, preparation is one thing. There's also a place of prayer that's needed. Whether God is going to bless that work, whether God is going to speak to hearts, is another thing altogether. You can have the best message. You can prepare the, you know, well. Yet God will not speak to people's hearts. And so the challenge is to be filled with the Spirit of God, and that comes only by prayer. So I'm deeply challenged to pray, to be guided by the Spirit rather than my own spirit. And so this evening, even as I teach you, I'm also teaching myself and reminding myself how important it is to pray, to plead with God, to plead for the lives of people, for the salvation of people. Okay, may our hearts be encouraged this evening to do so. Okay? Okay, anything you want to ask? No. Well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, this evening we want to pray and thank you for the example of Moses and the kind of servant of God that he was. How he was a man of prayer. How he stood in a gap for the people of Israel. And how you heard his prayer and spared a whole nation. And we pray, dear Father, that you will help us to also learn how to go deeper in our prayer life. Help us to learn to discern your leading, your promptings, even as we pray, especially with reference to your word. We pray, dear Lord, that you will guide us and help us to improve our prayer life. May we be able to draw nearer to you and to know you, and you can reveal things to us as we pray. And we ask, dear Lord, for your grace and your mercies in our life. We ask, dear Father, that you strengthen our faith and bless us as we leave here, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.